Welcome to the Armour Men's Health Show with Dr. Mystery and Donna Lee.
Hello and welcome to the Armour Men's Health Hour. I'm Dr. Mystery, your host, here as always with my ever technologically capable co-host, Donna Lee.
One day you're going to say super cute and sexy.
Are you quitting?
No.
Oh.
I just thought I'd take you in a different direction.
I thought you meant your replacement.
No.
She's left-handed. Ever heard of that joke? Anyway... I'm Dr. Mystery. I'm a board-certified urologist. This is a men's health show. The show is brought to you by the urology practice that I started in 2007.
Old man walking.
That means this is 15th year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gotten my anniversary gift yet.
No, oh, it's coming in September.
Yes.
It is only July.
It was like last year when you got one that just said, happy 14th anniversary.
You know what? I was counting down.
Like, why?
I started at 13 and nobody noticed.
Why did you make a banner that said 14th
Because I started at 13. I'm thorough like that.
Happy 7th wedding anniversary, everybody.
See, you do so celebrate that, by the way.
Doing this show and being a urologist are two of some of my favorite things.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because of me?
No. Mm. Because I love talking.
To me?
No. When I was a resident, which is the training portion of residency, we learned how to treat men with certain conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of kept a blind eye to other specialties and other things that other specialties could offer for you.
Makes sense.
So
it's like dating.
You kind of keep blinders on.
Yeah, I don't like that girl.
So what's so nice about being in practice and having a more holistic practice is that we can be so much more open-minded about what can be offered to people.
Yep.
So we're really lucky today to have a special guest.
That's right.
Dr. Preston Smith. Preston, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, you're with Advantage IR,
mm-hmm.
Advantage Interventional Radiology, Advantage IR.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it stands for, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long have you worked with them?
About a year.
Already? I feel you just joined yesterday, but
I know, right?
Yesterday.
COVID has shortened time and
that's
space.
Right. That's true.
And penises. You should
see my husband's penis.
You should look at our shrunken penis with COVID segment on your local
featuring
podcast.
Featuring my husband, Michael.
Featuring your husband. Advantage IR is our partner for a procedure called prostate artery embolization. It's a mouthful.
That's what she said. PAE.
So, prostate artery embolization. Now, as a urologist, uniquely, we are in a position to find patients with an enlarged prostate who have urinary complaints and potentially send them to you. But historically, urologists haven't used prostate artery embolization. Is that right?
Yes.
Why do you think that's the case?
I tell the patients because it's new, and in medicine, new is about 10 years old. So it's a little new. And it also may be in competition or an alternative to some of the things that urologists do. So that's another reason.
You're very diplomatic. It's because we don't make money off prostate artery embolization, and you do. And so you're not getting my prostate patient. I need to make a car payment.
But oddly, we make no money around our clinic, so we send patients to y'all.
That's right. We are nonprofit, you say. But not on purpose.
I work for free.
Yeah, right. I guess what I'd like to go through is I want you to go through your spiel about prostate artery embolization, and then I'm going to go through my spiel. And then our listeners can hear like kind of how a urologist take and an interventional radiologist take would be. So when somebody comes and asks you, why don't you explain it to me? You know, tell me what it is and what benefits I can expect, including what kind of patients would be the best for it.
Prostate artery embolization, it is, again, a mouthful, like you just said, specifically the term embolization. That's just a fancy word for us putting something inside an artery to block it. Embolizations come in a bunch of forms. We use, you know, little fibers of metal, beads, some sort of foam. But in this case, we're using very small beads. They're essentially plastic. They're about 0.3 or 0.5 or 0.1 millimeters in size. And my goal during this procedure is just to find the blood supply to the prostate and drip these beads into the blood flow, make the prostate get less blood flow by blocking off the arterial inflow. That will have basically one effect, if I do it correctly. It will shrink the prostate down. So it's very good for people who have urinary symptoms that we're sure, or at least pretty sure, is due to an enlarged prostate, which is a lot of guys.
That's great and very technical because you do it. So you like the technical parts.
Mm-hmm.
What I tell patients is that that prostate artery embolization is a way to treat an enlarged prostate by shrinking the prostate, by starving it of blood flow and kind of choking it till it gets a little smaller. Now, a lot of patients are worried. They're like, well, what happens if the prostate dies? The prostate doesn't die, right? It has other blood flow.
No.
It's just we just kill the two main ways to get blood.
Yeah, the prostate has, you know, alternate blood supply from arteries that supply everything around it. So if you just look at all the prostate's next door neighbors, it's the pelvic floor muscles, it's the rectum, it's the bladder, and it's the male genitals. So it gets a little bit of blood supply from penis.
We say stick and dingleberries.
Stick and dingleberries, okay.
Yum-yums and dinglings.
Yum-yums and dinglings.
Get it right.
Yeah, get it right.
It's on our show notes.
Yeah. As a radiologist, you use very, very specific terms like male genitalia.
Oh, because yeah. He's more professional than
he's
we are.
He's more professional than we are.
Because when he said rectum, I immediately thought in my head, damn near killed him.
I just damn near killed him.
I just went there.
Just met her. sometimes people are worried about how long prostate artery embolization is going to last. I tell them that between 5 and 7 years is a reasonable timeline. What is your assessment of the data, and what do you tell people?
So I tell them that for a couple of reasons. A, because I've done a lot of these, and B, because we're a little more aggressive with it. I think there is data out there to suggest that sometimes it lasts a little bit less if you are not embolizing it completely, which is part of the art of medicine, you know, doing the procedure, you know, as well as possible. So I think in the right hands, it probably lasts 5 to 7 years. And sometimes shorter, maybe sometimes a little bit longer.
So what we've talked about is like what that is. You know, the type of patient that really seems to be drawn to this are those patients that are a little bit better read, they've done a lot more research, and those that don't want anything put into their penis, like a catheter, because there's no catheter.
Yeah, there's no catheter. There is something that we call a catheter, but it's basically an IV that goes into the artery, and that's what we use. But yeah, there's no urethral, you know, there's no urinary
There's nothing
catheter.
In your bladder. You don't have to worry about, you know, being hospitalized. You do this as an outpatient, right?
Mm-hmm.
In your own surgery center under a little bit of anesthesia. About how long does the procedure take?
We've got it down to about an hour, amazingly, which I feel like is a little bit of a flex on some of the other interventional radiologists. But yeah, it's about an hour. You know, if I want to say that I'm bring my A game every single day, 100%, and sometimes it'll last an like hour. An hour and a half. But
You don't come across cocky radiologists very often.
Interventional radiologists.
Flexing on other interventional radiologists is like watching children fight each other on the playground.
That was a first. He flexed.
Daddy surgeon is here. So where did you go to medical school?
University of Texas at Houston.
Okay, UT Houston, right across the street from Baylor College of Medicine. Maybe it rubbed off on him.
Mm, yeah, a little bit.
Don't start.
Where did you do your training?
Medical College of Wisconsin.
Oh, MCAL.
Yeah.
And then, you said it just like that, too. Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
I heard it.
And so our listeners know, how long is the training? You go to 4 years of college, 4 years of medical school, and then what?
And then an internship year, 4 years of radiology residency, and a year of interventional training.
You look like you're 25. How did all that happen?
You look very young.
I know.
You started when you were 8 in medical school.
Feel very old. Okay. So that's 6 years after medical school. So I mean, you're in terms of time, you train almost as long as a urologist.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously not a urologist. and so as part of your diligence for patients, if somebody is interested in getting a prostate artery embolization, what kinds of information do you want to know?
Number one is the size of the prostate. So how big the prostate is, that's going to be a really good, you know, the best gauge as to whether this is going to be helpful or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two is, are these urinary symptoms due to outflow obstruction of the bladder, which would be the prostate in that case? Because there are a lot of guys that can have urinary symptoms, and we'll have them fill out a score sheet or a symptom sheet. And when you really get into the weeds, it could be due to something else.
And so that's a great point. And so oftentimes these men need to have a urologist on their side. But if your urologist out there doesn't believe in prostate artery embolization, they're just going to talk you out of it because they don't know it. They don't have a friend like Preston here that they don't make money on it. All these reasons that they're not going to send you the patient. But you know, for me, I'm most interested in what's the best thing for the patient. Downsizing the prostate is exactly what is needed in so many of these instances.
Where do you go in the body, though? I'm confused.
Oh, this is cool.
Yeah, let's hear about that part.
So generally speaking, we go in through the femoral artery, which is the artery that's in, you know, right by your groin. It's the easiest place for us to get into the arterial system to do a variety of things. Angiograms are done all over the body. Mm-hmm. That's the easiest place as well for us to get into the prostate. It's just a short trip, 5-6 inches north, and then
for some of us a little longer,
depending on who you are. Like my husband would have a short trip. Dr. Mystery would have a longer trip.
Do you have the extra long? So you go in through the groin, and some people even can go in through the wrist. The same kind of setup that somebody might have for a heart catheterization. Is that right?
Exactly.
You get a little bit of sedation in the office, and then the procedure's performed. Now, I traditionally tell patients that their prostate volume has to be around 60 grams before you're going to get a benefit from prostate artery embolization. Now, we determine the size of the prostate not by a finger wave, because that's going to be too imprecise. We use an ultrasound placed transrectally. I said that really quick so that people wouldn't get scared. Transrectally, and then we measure the size of the prostate, and you have to do that, usually a urologist. Now, you also do that in the office by doing a transabdominal ultrasound, correct?
Exactly, yes.
So you don't put things in the bunghole?
No, I try not to.
No, you're not lucky like
at
that.
At least yeah,
I
not
missed.
On purpose. On purpose.
Wrong hole. That's another joke.
That's what she said.
We got to hear that joke. You do this abdominal ultrasound. You measure the size of the prostate. And if it's, well, what size are you looking for traditionally to see if shrinking it helps?
Traditionally, I would look for 50 grams or cubic centimeters. And the reason I say that is because if I can measure it as 50 grams, usually underestimated by the transabdominal ultrasound. So I'm mostly adding a couple extra cc's.
And trust me, a radiologist admitting that he's 20% off all the time probably is one of my greatest achievements on earth.
Oh my God.
I'm recording that.
So, this poor guy.
So it takes you about an hour to do it. It's a minimal anesthesia. Most insurances are covering it, including Medicare and Medicaid today. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
And so recovery, like I tell people they can be golfing again the next day.
I mean, maybe wait one day.
Okay.
So two days.
In 2 days.
Yeah.
So. Overachiever.
Yes. Well,
going
Mr. Johnson, don't
sex.
Go golfing today, please. Right. Sometimes people worry when you're messing with arteries and veins that, and especially when you talk about the prostate, that you're going to have an adverse impact on erections. Now, my experience has been those patients come back and tell me their erections are better. Mm. But I don't know if. But
is that why you keep getting it done every week? I'm here again, Dr.
I'm here
Smith.
For my prostate artery embolization again, Dr. Smith. What is your experience about erectile function?
I've found the same thing. The erectile function improves, and I don't have there's a couple publications on it. We're currently culling our own data, or I don't know if that's the right word, but we're going through our own data to confirm this, make sure that those studies are correct. I also think it happens a little more robustly with the bigger prostates.
And so, you know, if you're out there and you have an enlarged prostate and you're looking for something and you just haven't been happy with the options that are out there. You don't want to get a TURP. You don't want to get Aquablation. You don't want to get something bigger. You were told you have a very, very big prostate and are looking for something that's not terribly invasive. I think prostate artery embolization really checks off all those boxes. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes to preparation for it, and post-op recovery, what kind of preparation do patients generally need to go through?
I tell them probably similar stuff to you guys. Although it's not surgery, we prepare them the same way. You know, no food after midnight the night before. Hold blood thinning medications for a certain amount of time, depending on what the different types of medications are. If you have diabetes, we ask that you take some of those diabetic medications, but again, we tailor it depending on what you're taking. Everyone wants to know if they stay on their prostate medications. We usually keep them on those throughout the pre and then the recovery process.
About
as well.
How long do you have them stay on the prostate medication?
I tailor it to the patient. So I'll see everyone 1 month after the procedure. And additionally, we'll call them the day afterwards. But at 1 month, I'll make a determination of what to take them off of and what to leave them on based on their improvement.
How soon after the procedure do people start having benefit? And then when do you expect that benefit to evolve over time?
They should notice an improvement around 2 weeks, 10 to 14 mm-hmm. days. And the first symptom they'll notice improves is that their stream should be a little better. And that should continue to improve. Usually it'll plateau at 6 to 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then similar to procedures that you guys do, their bladder will respond to that up to about 3 months. You know, the prostate keeps shrinking out to 3 or 4 months, but really the gains are made in the first 2 months.
And when do they get their PSA checked again after the procedure? Is that something that happens like a month later?
It should be probably three months later to let it settle out. That's when the prostate will be done shrinking and, you know, it should it'll be at a new baseline. But I would probably wait even more.
Mm. It's a great point you make there, Donna. The PSA will drop because the prostate will shrink and the PSA will drop. So especially for you guys out there that have huge prostates and then you always have to kind of contend on whether to do a biopsy or not, and you've had multiple biopsies because of this, that, the other, you know, this is a procedure that will dramatically reduce your PSA. We use it a lot in our patients who are diagnosed with prostate cancer, who we're going to use HIFU or high intensity focused ultrasound or HIFU treatment to cure their disease because the prostate needs to be smaller. And I think a common question that I get asked is prostate artery embolization for prostate cancer? So the answer is?
The answer is currently no, but it helps out shrink the prostate so that you can get some other adjunct therapy.
And I think that in my experience, you know, we use so many different ways of taking care of cancer. I can't wait till more research comes out, you know, because we're accumulating our data as well for you. And I think that we're going to ultimately find that cancer cure rates are going to be better. That's my hypothesis in patients that had prostate artery embolization. Because, I mean, we radiate, we do all these things to the prostate, but starving the prostate and prostate cancer also, I have to believe, is going to create even additional benefits.
It's definitely not going to be good for the cancer, that's for sure. Mm. It's going to be bad for the cancer when we embolize the prostate gland.
Good point. Mm-hmm.
So how long does it take for people to see you, and can people come directly to you?
Yes, people can come directly to us. We have, you know, clinic where you can see me once a week. Generally speaking, we can work patients in relatively quickly, and you don't necessarily need to see your primary care physician or your urologist. I can see you in clinic. And if you're a great candidate, that's great. And if I think that you need to see Dr. Mistry, I'll point him in Dr. Mistry's direction.
Don't tell their urologist.
Don't tell
so
the others.
What is the website?
The website is www.advantage-ir.com.
And then the phone number?
Hold on. I messed this up last time, but this time I'm going to get it right. It's 512-772-1677.
Excellent. Excellent.
So, you know, we talked about how guys don't want things in their penis like the catheter, but we need to do a whole other segment again on what guys do like to stick in their penis because you take care of those guys too.
That's correct.
But that's just foreign objects.
It's a different kind of shadow box.
That's a whole different show.
It's a whole different show.
We won't put you through
that,
Dr. Smith.
A lot more bleeping. Okay. We'll leave you alone on that one.
Right?
Donna, how do people get a hold of us? What if they want to send us a message to get to Dr. Smith? How do they do that?
You can reach out directly to me through armormenshealth.com. You can submit your question there. And you can check out our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, free podcasts. We are all over the place. Dr. Mistry is Dr. Worldwide because we have people in other continents listening to us because, you know, he's funny like that. We're located in Round Rock, North Austin, South Austin, and Dripping Springs, Texas. Our phone number during the week is 512-238-0762. You can ask for me. Thank you guys so much. What a great segment.
Thanks a lot for joining us today, Preston.
The Armour Men's Health Hour is brought to you by urology specialists. For questions or to schedule an appointment, please call 512-238-0762 or online at armormenshealth.com.